Now, as we've been hearing, Gardaí are this lunchtime continuing to question two people arrested in connection with the discovery of the body of a five-day-old baby, later known as Baby John, on a beach at Carrisaveen in County Kerry in April 1984. Tánaiste Micheál Martin of City hopes that there will be justice for Baby John and closure for everybody involved. Speaking in County Cork, Tánaiste described the case as shocking and said he awaits the outcome of the Garda investigation.
Well, I can remember as a young person when the case emerged first. And it has been quite a shocking experience, and particularly Joanne Hayes and the people involved. I'm not going to comment on obviously the Garda investigation, but again, we await the outcome of that. It is a case that has been there in the background, so to speak, over 40 years now. Huge sadness around it all. Terrible trauma on so many people and families, and I'd now prefer to wait and see what transpires.
The discovery of the baby's body led to what became known as the Kerry Babies case, in which Gardaí wrongly charged Joanne Hayes, a young woman from Abbeydorney, with the murder. She had given birth to a stillborn baby around the same time. The conduct of the Garda investigation and Joanne Hayes' wrongful arrest was later the subject of a widely criticised tribunal of inquiry. Here's Joanne Hayes speaking about her experience on the Late Late Show after the tribunal in 1985.
Still trying to get over the initial shock of the report, and I'm still under doctor's supervision, but I just came here tonight to thank all the people that supported me during the tribunal, and also to tell the people that I didn't kill my own child like it said in the report.
Looking back on it now, can you tell me about your feelings during all of that?
Well, we weren't really prepared for a tribunal. We didn't really know what it was all about. The first morning, we met our counsellors, our donor counsellor and a senior counsel. And I don't think they were very prepared either for the case. The first morning, we went into the tribunal, like there were cameras flashing in our faces and we could hardly walk. And the tribunal itself was a terrible experience.
Joanne Hayes speaking about her experience at the Kerry Babies Tribunal. Well, I'm joined here in studio by Alan Bailey, a retired Garda who was sergeant in charge of Ireland's first cold case unit. You're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much,
Alan, and thank you indeed for coming in to talk to us. What do you make now of these developments in relation to the Kerry Babies case?
It's a very welcome development, and it's something that should give a lot of hope to people out there, other people who are waiting for some closure and some loss, some family loss, or some incident in the family that has never been resolved. In the cold case unit, the one motto we had was never say never. And this is a classic example of it, that with the passage of time, it's still possible that closure will be possible for some people.
This is a 40-year-old crime.
That's correct.
What has changed in those 40 years that might make it possible to achieve a breakthrough at this stage?
Well, the big game changer since 1984, of course, is DNA. And even in recent years, there's been a further development of DNA, in that you know what's called familial DNA. So it doesn't necessarily have to be your suspect or your person of interest. It's a second or third cousin of theirs will bring you back to the person involved.
So, for example, in a case such as this, it would be as it wasn't possible then to identify maybe the parents of this child.
That's correct. Back then, we'd use, we used blood samples, maybe as much for eliminating suspects as for identifying them. But now it's a totally different scenario where your blood will actually identify you. And that's fine now that you're looking for dandruff at crime scenes and things like that to identify a culprit.
So the technology has just changed dramatically, and it means that really cases of this kind of vintage, and I suppose it's not the only one that has been reopened in which there have been developments potentially, at least in this case, in recent years.
That's correct, yeah. And it is a huge game changer.
And the technology is well established and well accepted in court.
It's well accepted in court, and it's been tried in all the courts worldwide, and there's no disputing the facts or the outcome of the DNA.
So for Gardaí, there's the DNA, but there's also a requirement, is there not, that the evidence gathered at the time, that has been retained and that can still be brought forward in any subsequent trial. And that's a challenge, isn't it?
That's a huge challenge. And when you're revisiting cold cases, you're using a weighting matrix. And one of the important ones is your exhibits and how they're stored over the years. Standards from 40 years ago might be as tight or as airtight as they are nowadays, but at the same time you have your exhibit and you have you'll test it for DNA, and if it's on it, it will be used.
And have there been cases that you were involved in where you had hoped to be able to bring a prosecution or send a file to the DPP, but just the way the exhibits have been stored, or maybe not retained at all, had stymied that?
It can be a problem. It can be a huge problem. And then we had another instance. We said the murder of Phyllis Murphy in Newbridge in 1980. We revisited that in the year 2000, and we were able to use DNA and blood samples taken at the time to convict a gentleman of the murder.
Right. There's also a question about people perhaps who might have information that could be helpful to an investigation, and perhaps with the passage of time are reconsidering whether they might come forward.
That's very important. You'll have a person maybe in a volatile or an abusive relationship who for years and years has kept silent or has been afraid to say anything. And with the passage of time, that will change. Equally, loyalties and such like will change. And when you're making your appeal years on, it's those people you're making the appeal to.
Mm. Stay with us, Alan, because separately today, Gardaí, investigating the disappearance of Annie McCarrick 30 years ago, have upgraded their investigation to a murder inquiry. The American woman who lived in Sandymount in Dublin was aged 26 when she went missing in March 1993. At a press briefing this morning, Detective Superintendent Eddie Carroll said Gardaí are satisfied that it is now more likely that Annie came to a foul demise.
Myself and the senior investigating officer have recently visited Nancy McCarrick and some of her family in New York. Based on the entirety of the information available to the investigation team at Irishtown Garda Station, today, Friday the 24th of March 2023, I can confirm that this missing person investigation has now been upgraded to a murder investigation. This morning, I am making a public appeal for information. I want to speak to any person who met, spoke with, or had any interaction with Annie McCarrick on the 26th of March 1993 or subsequently. There is a person or persons who have information on the disappearance of Annie McCarrick and her murder on or about the 26th of March 1993 who haven't yet spoken to Gardaí, or who may have spoken to us already but are not in a position or were not in a position to tell us everything at the time that they spoke with us. I want to speak with any person who has any information on the large brown satchel-type handbag which is believed that Annie was in possession of when she went missing. I'm appealing to those persons 30 years later. Please come forward and speak to the investigation team.
Detective Superintendent Eddie Carroll. Well, we're still joined here in studio by retired Garda Sergeant Alan Bailey. Alan, this is a case that you'd worked on, I think, along with a number of other unsolved disappearances of women in the mid-1990s. Operation Trace was the particular operation.
That's correct. And for 13 years, I was the National Coordinator for Operation Trace, which examined all the cases. And this is a very welcome development this morning. It's something we recommended as far back as 2002, that all the cases under consideration should be upgraded to a murder investigation. And it hasn't happened. It's happened today, and it's something I welcome very much.
How unusual is it that the disappearance of someone will be treated as a murder when a body hasn't been found?
And therein lies the big problem. Under civil law, it's after 7 years, you can declare someone to be officially dead. But under criminal law, it's not something that's easily done. In this jurisdiction, I think we've only ever had two convictions for murder where the body has never been discovered. One of those is the murder of Captain Robert Nyrack. You might remember that some years ago. And his assailants were convicted without his body being located. But it's more the exception than the rule.
So what then might have led Gardaí to upgrade the investigation to come to the conclusion that Annie McCarrick was most likely murdered?
Well, I'm not privy to any recent developments in it, but I would imagine there has been a development which has made them reconsider. And when you're looking at missing persons, you're looking for what's called push-pull factors. That means, did something make them leave home, or did they leave of their own volition, or was there some other reason for it? And it's the lack of that is what's so important. And that's something with Annie. Annie's mother was due to visit 3 days after she went missing. So there's certainly no reason for her to go missing.
The appeal, particularly for any information around this bag, this satchel that she was carrying, why would you think the focus on that?
Because, again, and you bring it back to your last article, where you can recover DNA from items like that. And obviously, it was taken possibly as a souvenir by Annie's assailant.
And back in the mid-90s, that DNA wouldn't have been available.
No,
the technology
it certainly wouldn't have been available.
Yeah.
But nowadays, it's one of the first things you do is submit the likes of that for DNA testing.
And again, this appeal for anybody with information to come forward, even all these years later, the possibility that there's somebody out there that may be able to assist in this investigation.
That's it, yeah. And it's something, if you have it on your conscience, it's not something that's easy to carry alone, a guilt like this over years. And you will have, at some stage, have shared it, and you're appealing now to the person with whom you share that information to maybe come forward.
It would be so important, wouldn't it, for her family? Her father passed away some time ago.
But yeah, I'm dealing with a retired FBI agent who's very close to the family, and he comes over and back quite regularly, and he's keeping the family in touch with what's happening. And, you know, it's good to have that little bit of contact.
Yeah, I mean, it's also very hard for them now, I suppose, to have to accept. Maybe they've accepted it many years ago, but that Annie was killed, yeah. Most likely.
I spoke to Nancy back in 2011, the year I retired, because I was passing on details of the next liaison officer, and at that stage she was saying, all I want at this stage is my daughter's body back.
Yeah, these cases never leave you, I imagine.
They never leave you, no.
Well, look, thank you for talking to us here on the programme today. That's retired Garda Sergeant Alan Bailey.